to get yourself ready, and many of you get up and get yourself ready, get the kids ready, and come to Bible class. And I know that we have all enjoyed these two meetings almost back-to-back, but I tell you, it's been really edifying. Both meetings, both speakers did such a very, very good job. And I know that I've been encouraged and benefited from it, and I'm sure you have too. And in addition to being able to be encouraged and to sit and listen to the gospel being taught and preached, it gave you a nice little break from hearing me. And I'm sure you appreciated that very much as well. But so today starts a new quarter. We'll have a new study. This is a little study that I put together sometime last year. And I thought we would do this study this quarter. There are 30 points in this study, and it may not last us the entire quarter. And if it doesn't, that's okay. We'll teach some other things, maybe some completely unrelated things if we get through this rather speedily. I do want you to take the time. There's a couple extra books in the back if you came in and didn't get one. They're on the podium back there, so be sure to get a book. But please put your name in the front of it. I put that blank there because many times there are books and Bible class materials that get left in the seats, and I don't want you to lose it because we only have a limited number. And once these, I could always make you another cover, but it's not going to look as well. The other thing I'll say about it before we get into it, the copier did not pick up on the page numbers. You can barely see those at the bottom. So you might want to take a pen and take, on your own time, just kind of go through and mark the pages, because as we go through here, it'll be a lot quicker just say we're on page 3, page 4, or whatever. I think we might get through the first 2 points, maybe, today. And this study is looking at the phrase, if any man, which appears a good number of times in the Bible. And by the way, when you think about putting together sermons and you think about putting together Bible class material, it's a very good way to come up with sermons and lessons to teach. Take a Bible word, a Bible phrase, a thought that you might find in the Bible, a phrase. And you could put all kinds of material together by thinking about the phrases that you run across in the Bible. For example, the phrase, if any man, occurs 74 times in 74 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. That might be different if you don't use the King James Version, but 74 times you find that. And we're not going to have 74 points. I think there's 30 in this book, but this lesson sets several of these phrases, if any man, before us as we think about what we can learn. The first one I want us to think about comes from the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, if someone will read that for us. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40.
And if any man will sue thee in the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also.
Okay, good job, Chris. And before I forget, there's going to be typos in this, and we tried to catch everyone that we came across, but that inevitably happens. I was preparing for the lesson this morning and found two in the first lesson. Someone once said, how do you deal with typos when folks are being critical and pointing out mistakes? Good age preacher said this, how you handle that. When someone says, I found some mistake in your material, just tell them, well, we didn't want to leave anyone out, so we put that in there, especially for people who want to be critical. Thanks for pointing that out. But nonetheless, if you do find a typo, let me know so I can correct it. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 40, he's talking about, if any man do what? If any man sue thee and take away thy coat, let him have what?
Cloak.
Thy cloak also. And in the midst of Matthew chapter 5, that comes in a context that we often refer to as what?
Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, the Sermon on the Mount, which covers three chapters. There's a good number of speech sections in the book of Matthew, and this is one of them. And those speech sections that Jesus gave often, in fact, I think every one of them end with a similar statement. When he had ended this saying, like in Matthew chapter 7, when he had said this, they were surprised at how he had spoken and so forth, because he taught them as one having authority. So he's talking about, if anyone sue thee, and in the midst of this, again, he's talking the Sermon on the Mount, which deals with how to be a disciple, how to be a follower of the Lord, and the sacrifice that is involved in that. So in that, those first two blanks, you ought to put what? Yeah, coat and cloth. Yeah, if you use King James Version, it may be different in other versions. Ideally, this would have been handed out before the Bible class, so you could have already had these filled out, but we'll begin, and I'll have some mercy on you this class. You filled in as we go. The word coat comes from the Greek word keton, which means a tunic or shirt. And I just put these in there just to give you an idea of the difference of what the Lord's talking about. The original word is found in 10 verses in the New Testament. It's also rendered clothes, coat, and raiment, or garment. And it's been defined as a gown-like outer garment, with or without sleeves, and sometimes belted down, worn by the ancient Greeks and Romans. And here are some instances where it's rendered in different ways, but it's the same word in Matthew 10:10 and Mark 6:9. Two coats were forbidden to be taken when? He said, don't take two coats with you.
He sent them out two by two.
Yeah, sent them out on this limited commission. It was limited because why?
Locations where they were going to.
Yeah, it was limited as to who they were going. They were to go to the Jews only. Remember that? Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so you might want to mark down Matthew chapter 10, which, by the way, is a very good, concise list of the apostles. And so Matthew chapter 10, the limited commission, and Matthew 28, the unlimited commission. It's not limited by who they were to go to or where they were to go, but it was limited in what they were to teach. And it was limited in what they were to teach to what? The Great Commission. What was that done?
You said until.
How was it limited, the Great Commission? It was limited in not to where they were to go or to who they were to go. They were to go to the whole world, preach to every creature.
The gospel.
It was limited as to what message that they were to teach. In Mark 14:63, the high priest rent his clothes, which you read often in the Bible. They rent their clothes. John 19:23-24, a seamless garment not parted by the Roman soldiers. Acts 9:39, the disciple Dorcas had made coats. Remember that? And she died and they were showing them all the things that she had made. That's the word coat. The word cloak is taken from the Greek word that means a dress, inner or outer. Occurs 59 verses and is also rendered as apparel, clothes, garment, raiment, robe, and vesture. Like in Matthew 9:20, an ill woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment. If I might just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Remember that? Matthew 11:8, Jesus asked if folks had went out to see a man clothed in soft raiment. Who was he talking about?
John the Baptist.
I've taught a sermon before on for what went ye out to see. John did not meet their expectations. What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft apparel? Matthew 17:2, Jesus' raiment was white as a light. Matthew 7:2 was what context?
The Mount Transfiguration.
Yeah, good job. John 19:5, a purple robe was placed upon Jesus. And 1 Peter 3:3, Peter discusses the outward adorning of apparel, which in the context of that is talking about what?
How ladies dress.
Good job. Now, many times, just a side note to that, individuals will use this verse to try to teach what? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Notice the verse says, who's adorning? He's talking about women. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel. No, that's right. That's often the scripture that is appealed to by individuals maybe in holiness groups. So we don't wear makeup. We don't fix our hair up. But it's lifting it out of its context. He's not condemning those things. If he were condemning those things altogether, in the very same verse, what would he be condemning, Rose? He'd be condemning clothes, he said, not putting on of apparel. Now, you're not going to advocate that you can't use clothes, are you? Say, no, we're not advocating. Well, the context is that he's teaching them what? Yeah, don't be known for the outward appearance. Be known for the hidden person on the inside. And that's why he says in verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible in the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. There is value upon a quiet and a meek spirit. You agree? That's the context of what he's talking about. The point that's being taught, all of that is just to give you more information as to what he's saying with the cloak and coat. But the point that's being taught and what's in harmony with the context is the disciples' reaction to mistreatment. When they're mistreated for the Lord's cause. Are there times when it is best to suffer? This is I. When it is best to suffer loss or allow oneself to be defrauded. And before you answer, read 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. Whoever would like to read that? 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8.
Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know what we will judge? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? So if you have law courts dealing with the matters of this life, you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church. I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers.
Good job, right? So the context of 1 Corinthians 6 is he's writing to who?
Christian.
He's writing to folks who obey the gospel, right? And they had a lot of problems. I know that, we know that, right? 1 Corinthians 1 verses 1, 2, and 2 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2. But they had a lot of problems. Like they were being divided, 1 Corinthians 1 and chapter 3. They were carnal, chapter 3 and chapter 5. They had the issue of fornication among them. In chapter 6, the problem was that he was trying to address and correct with them is what? What were they doing?
Suing each other.
Yeah, they were suing each other. They were going to law with each other. In other words, we say taking people to court, taking their brethren to court. And he's saying, listen, you're taking your brother to courts of men who are not interested in spiritual things. Yeah, take care of that issue. And you can judge that among yourselves. And so the question, does someone...
Why we're even talking about a coat or a cloak even goes back to the Old Testament, because back in Exodus, under the law, it said if you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, return it by sunset, because that cloak is the only covering your neighbor has. And he says he would... If a neighbor cried out, that God said, I will be compassionate. So they didn't have much clothing. So that was a serious thing. I stress to the kids all the time, they didn't have clothing like we have. When they rent their garments, you know, something serious has happened. And so that's why I guess we're referring to a cloak or coat to begin with here.
Good. And that was Exodus. What was that?
22, 26 through 27.
And I encourage it when points are brought up. And jot those down in your book. Work that workbook. Mark it up. Make it your own. So that they were taking one another to law. He said, don't do that. That's a problem. You ought not be doing that. So the question that I asked was, are there times when it is best to suffer loss or allow oneself to be defrauded?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'd circle yes too. But we'd circle yes based on what? Based on what that text says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. To suffer loss. Take the loss. And go on. Christians must overcome the temptation to fight back. Or get even. And sometimes we feel like doing that. I'll get even with you. You got it coming to you. You don't know who you're messing with. We got to be careful with that, don't we? What was the reaction of the following individuals during times of mistreatment? The first one was Stephen in Acts 7. There was a man that had proclaimed the gospel. You talk about boldness when he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, you'd always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, even so do ye. Well, that roused him up. He hit a nerve with that. And sometimes folks might hit our nerve. We might strike the nerve of people that we're preaching to. But notice his reaction. What did he do? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Think of the attitude, the humility in that. Well, did he get up and start, as they were stoning him, he just grabbed one of those stones and threw it back at them? No, he didn't. He suffered wrongfully. Blank.
You were talking about that one, about fighting back a bit in Israel. What comes to my mind was Romans 12, 19, says, love, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath where it is written. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.
That's right. And Blaine, if you were putting this material together, you probably would have included that because it's just a couple more points down.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is.
What's that saying? Great minds think. The apostles, how they suffered great mistreatment. They were, as we already mentioned, sent out to preach the gospel all the world, a message that most of the people were not going to accept, who didn't want to hear what they had to say, didn't believe what they said. As we've studied through the book of Acts, and we noticed what happened to the apostles early on in the first half of the book, and then specifically with Paul in the second half of the book. But how did they respond to mistreatment? Someone read for us 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13, and notice how Paul says, this is how we were treated, and this is how we responded to that mistreatment. 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13.
We labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now.
Good John. Notice what he says happened to them. Being reviled, we reviled back. Is that what he said? No, he said being reviled, we did what? We blessed. We didn't talk evil about them. We didn't dish it back out to them. Being persecuted, what did we do? We suffered it. And then being defamed. What comes to mind when you think about being defamed?
Slandered.
Slandered. Maybe someone, defamation, you hear that in the news often. Someone's just saying bad things about it. And the Lord even talked about that. Blessed are you when men cast out your name as evil. They speak bad about it. I know you've experienced the fact that folks know where you stand religiously. They know what church you're a member of. They know that you don't believe in the concept of it don't matter. We'll talk about that in the sermon this morning. And then they begin to talk about you, gossip about you, separate you from their company, won't treat you the same, whatever. I'm sure you've experienced it, Bernice.
I'm just going to make a comment. We just finished studying the 1 Corinthians in our ladies' class. At the end of it, our conclusion was, we think we wouldn't want to be a part of that type of congregation. That's our thinking as of today. No word did Paul ever instruct one member to leave that congregation. He instructed them to fix the problem.
Fix the problem.
That was our take from that book.
I don't think there are any problems that can arise among brethren that cannot be fixed, cannot be solved, worked out when all parties have the attitude that a brother should have. Should have. Then you think about the Lord. And then also, you might want to write down with the apostles. I've given this to you before. But 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 11 are two good passages where Paul, and he talks about their mistreatment in other places, but specifically those two chapters, 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 11. But then you think about how the Lord is treated. By our standards today, we could say, well, he's a young person. 30 years old when he was baptized of John, 33 or so when he was crucified, executed, if you want to put it that way. You think about how he was treated. When Peter was writing, of course, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he references the life of Christ in 1 Peter 1, verses 21 through 23, notice what he says about the Lord. Whoever would like to read that. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23.
For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to the him who judges righteously.
Think about it. First makes a point that he had no sin. Like Hebrews chapter 4, that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And you think about how he was mistreated, wrongfully accused.
Donnie, the keys of the whole thing is what she said right there at the last part of that verse. He committed himself to one who judges righteously. And you could say the same thing for Stephen, the apostles, everybody else that we've mentioned here. That's what, I mean, they leave it to God. Like Blaine said just a second ago, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not ours.
That's right. God will take care of things in his time, and he'll judge in a righteous way. We know so because not only of that text, but of 2 Timothy 4 and 10 verse 8. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, now notice how he's described. The Lord, the what?
Righteous.
Yeah, the righteous judge. He'll judge right. He knows what's right. And he can take care of things a lot better than what we could. Christ had no sin. Who, though he was reviled, he did what? He reviled not again. I'm telling you, sometimes what do? One of our first reactions many times is to do what? Well, you're rude to me, I'll be rude to you. You say something mean to me, I won't take that. These passages remind us of the importance of self-control. Chris?
Let our emotions get the best of us.
Yeah, we let our emotions. And listen, I'm not saying this when having you in mind. I'm thinking about myself and sometimes my faults and failings. Sometimes there are things that come along with being a redhead, and I've got to watch that. I've got to watch it. All of us do. But it's passages like this that remind us, this is how the Lord would have me to respond in this situation. And I want to do what the Lord said to do. And we'll try to come up and wiggle our way around everything in the world. Come up with there. Well, just because I'm a Christian don't mean I've got to be a doormat. People walk all over me. Well, I understand we don't have to let people necessarily take advantage of us. But there's no excuse, right? And I'm saying to me, there's no excuse for me to let my emotions, my temper, get the best of me. And I think we can agree, all of us agree that shoe fits all of us. We just simply cannot do that. Life's too short, and heaven too great, and hell too miserable to not do the things we're talking about. Romans 12, 17 through 21, which Blaine pointed out so very well to us. Recompense to no man. Well, there are some people that need it. No, no, no. He said recompense to no man. What goes in the next two blanks? Blank for blank.
Evil
for evil. In other words, they might mistreat you. They may treat you bad. But you don't recompense that to them. And then he goes on, provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. We understand sometimes it's not possible, but the impossibility is not to be on our side. It's to be that the other person doesn't want peace. It's the other person doesn't want to live in a way that would be right with us. But as much as is in within my ability and my power, I'm to live peaceably with who?
Everybody.
Are you sure that didn't say just with people that are alive? Does all mean all? It means everybody. And then he says, but rather, dearly beloved, avenge not. Those should be the other way around. I got those backwards in the book. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto
God.
Is it sinful to be angry?
No.
Absolutely not. Did the Lord ever get angry at Christ?
Yes.
He sure did, when he looked on him with anger. Did our Father ever get angry? Sure did. And others got angry. That's an emotion, and sometimes it's justifiable. But he says to do what? Give place to it. What does that mean, give place to wrath?
Be angry and sin not.
Yeah, exactly. Be angry and sin not. Let it have its place. For it is written. Here's the reason. That word for introduces a reason. And here's why that you don't recompense. Here's why you don't treat anyone bad. Here's why you give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance. What does vengeance mean?
We call it payback.
Expression of wrath.
Okay. Wrath?
Vengeance is giving someone what they deserve for what their actions
are. Yeah. God is better at that than we are.
Yeah.
Because God is not driven by emotion. But by what?
Right and wrong.
Right and wrong. Justice. When justice is meted out come the judgment day, it's based on what's right and what's wrong. And God's in a much better position. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him. Now, here's why. And here's the conclusion of that. Here's the outcome of that. For in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not
overcome
of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a tall order. It's not possible. The Lord never expects the impossible from us, but sometimes there are things that are easier said than done. But it's difficult because of what? Because of self. We let self get in the way. I've got a passage wrote down so I'd remember it for self. You might want to jot it down. It's from Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, you know what the rest is? Proverbs 16:7.
Says he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Don't you love that? When a man's ways please the Lord, he causeth or maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You say, no, I've just not been getting along with my neighbor. Not been able to get along with some people. Well, it might be, since the book of Proverbs is a book of general rules of life, it just might be a time when I need to do some what? Some self-examination. Maybe folks are not really being peaceful, living at peace with me because I'm being difficult to live with, live around, or whatever the case might be. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Have we already had the second bell? Okay. We can finish this section. 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if you so, remember going back to the Sermon on the Mount, how do you respond in times of persecution? Peter said, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, not because you brought it on yourself, not because of your sin, not because of your misbehaving, but for righteousness' sake, what goes in that blank? Happy are you, which is akin to the word blessed. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I don't have to go through life looking over my shoulder when I do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. 1 Peter 4:14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And remember, all we do is to bring what? To bring glory to God. He's glorified on our part because we're living the way that God would have us to live. God's people are to rejoice and be exceeding glad in times of persecution, Matthew 5:12. We need to be reminded of that. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. They've already mistreated God's people in the past, so don't be surprised if they mistreat you. You just remember you're happy, you're blessed, and there are better things to come for God's people. Any thoughts, questions about our first study? So take this book. Don't forget, take it home. Study for next week as far as you can, because I don't know how far we'll get. Fill in the blanks and come prepared. Don't lose your Bible class material. Take it home with you. Don't leave it at the building, but take it home. Appreciate you being in our good study.